seven.
Just straight off there.
Straight off. Good morning. Yes, it's Mabel. My name is Shade Fadbe. I'm a children's author. I used to be a teacher at Ivydale Primary 30 years ago before I thought about writing stories for children. Yes, you've got your hand up. Your friends. Yes, I know it's a school that you will be familiar with. That's why I mentioned it. I started teaching in Ivydale in 1994. It'll be 30 years next year. Right, so following on from my teaching career, I went to live in a country that my parents came from called Nigeria. So I was born here, but my heritage is mixed. I grew up in a place called Rovenden, in Tenterden, Kent, and my parents were English parents. So I don't know if anyone watched the Channel 5 program sometimes, maybe last week, 2 weeks ago, called White Nanny, Black Child. So I had a white foster mother and black parents. So I'd spend a weekend every other month with my Nigerian parents in London, and the rest of the time I would spend with my white foster mum. And so when I write my stories, I'm subconsciously pulling my heritage together. I'm going to pitch what I'm doing with your class differently, because I know that some of you are starting to think about what you want to become in future. But at the end of the day, we are all writers. So that's why we do have literacy, we have comprehension, we spell, because we spend our entire career being writers, don't we? We can't do without writing. But some of us then choose to use that writing to build a career. And that's what I have done. I've written three stories, but one book in particular, as you can see, has had three journeys. I started writing a fun ABC when I went to live in Nigeria for a bit. And the reason why I wrote that book was because I was a reading consultant to the government, and I was asked to set up reading corners and to put lots of books into schools and to train teachers, not just to use textbooks, but to use story books, fiction books. I went into those schools, and most of the books that I saw were stories about Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, and I'm talking about the remotest parts of northern Nigeria. So some parts of Nigeria are very affluent, have had education, the citizens are well read, but there's some parts of the country, especially in the north, has the Three Little Pigs. And those books were not relevant to the culture, especially because northern Nigeria is also the Muslim part of the country. They have nothing to do with pork. They don't eat pork, which means there's a distance between them and pigs. And then you've got stories that aren't culturally relevant, but even in religious terms, they weren't relevant. And I thought, I've got to do something about this now that I'm here. If I didn't go there and if I didn't know about the situation, then it's got nothing to do with me. Just like we know what's going on in different parts of the world, and sometimes we feel distant from it. But I felt that I had a responsibility based on my teaching background here and going there and seeing what was in place, that I had a responsibility to talk about why literature and fiction is important for all children, and why books of colour, books for children, black children, need to be seen by them. So I'm on the campaign here in England, but there it was also the same situation. And so I wrote my first book of fun ABC. And when I wrote it, this is how it was published by my publisher. There was no intention for it to come out of the country. actually, I just written a script and I sent and I wanted it to give it to the teachers during the teacher training. I had no plan to be an author. But on the last day of the training, I left the script at home. Coincidentally, 3 weeks after that, I met with a Caucasian doctor who we got talking. He said, "What do I do?" And I said, "Oh, I teach a train." And somehow it just popped that I'd written a script and said, and I didn't know where that came from. Oh, okay, I have written a script indeed. And he said, "Oh, actually, I've got a friend who's just set up a publishing company." And that was how my journey began, my writing journey began. But because that publishing company was based in Nigeria, I left that there. When we came back to live in England, I completely forgot about it. And 2 years later, she said, "Guess what? Somewhere here in England have seen your book and they want to publish it in the United Kingdom." And that's how a fun ABC, so that's how this transited to that. So the same book, apart from the format, hardback, paperback, larger print, larger format. And then in 2019, there was a request from the USA for the book, but to be published based on the content. So not so much as an ABC book, but because it's a story about a sister, a big sister and a little sister, they wanted it to represent the family and lifestyle. So it was called, "Can we change the title?" That was the question. "Can we change the title? Can we have it in hardback? And can we have a glossary at the end where we can see a list of all the different things within the pictures?" And so in 2019, it was published in the USA as A Visit to Grandad. In 2020, it was chosen as one of the best 50 books in the entire country. And then it was chosen something we call a Baker's Dozen, one of 13 for another award. And then it was chosen for the longest illustration picture book award, called A Caldecott. So it's had its journey, and I like to talk about it only because sometimes we do things in secret, but when the heart is in the right place and the passion is in the right place and you've got the right kind of support, it could take you anywhere. And I'm going to say today, if I didn't write this book, it makes no difference, because the stories within this book, there's so many stories within it, even though it's a picture book. When we were coming back from Nigeria, we had a bomb blast. We used to live in a city called Abuja, and there was a bomb blast. We had already planned that we were relocated back to Nigeria. And my children felt quite guilty. So the bomb blast was in May, and we left the country in July. And my children, I have two daughters, they felt quite guilty that they were leaving their friends behind. And I didn't feel guilt, but I felt empathy towards them. But when we got to England, they heard far more about human disaster, about displacement, about relocation, than when we were in Nigeria. And then I found myself switching off the channels because I was trying to prevent them from what they were seeing. So they'd already coped with the thoughts of leaving their friends behind. But now we're in a place where we thought we were safe, and we're getting to hear far more news about the world than when we were there. And that's why I wrote Snowy Joy. And Snowy Joy is a story about displacement. And we know what's going on in the world today, don't we? Even if your parents switch and change channels, hopefully you're having those conversations in school, because it's important to talk about what's going on in our world. It's important to talk about natural disaster. It's important to talk about human disaster. It's important to talk about the way we treat each other. And so I'd love to do some readings from this book. And hopefully, at some point, you can get a copy. I can post a copy to your teacher. And you can use it to talk about different themes. But I'd like to choose, really quickly, I'd like to choose some themes, and then I would stop because I know that you don't have much time, but I'm going to choose about three themes. And the first is Leave Me Alone from chapter 3. But I'd like to read the blurb before I do that. So throwing, unrolling, and playing in the snow had always been on Adana's wish list of fun things to do before she turned 10. It just never snowed where she lives. So when she gets whizzed away for her very first snowy holiday ever, she is truly thrilled. But after an unusual encounter with Kindama, the land of broken toys, Adana's mind is bombarded with a billion questions about the world she lives in, the world she loves, and she wishes she had stayed back home. Will she have the holiday of her dreams, or has it been marred by Kindama forever? Find out what happens to Adana in this adventure of self-discovery, richly blended with cultural spices, working in harmony, and helping us understand our world just a tiny bit more. So that's the main character. She goes on a trip. She's never experienced snow, and her grandmother is taking her to St. Albans. So I'm going to go straight to chapter 3. This is when they're on the plane. Leave me alone. Like skaters on thin ice, the aeroplane glided smoothly off the runway. It rocketed towards dark, stormy clouds. The higher the aeroplane soared, the stormier the weather became. The heavy downpour drummed harshly against the aeroplane's frame, and its wings shivered with an unusual frenzy, as if it had caught a cold. Adana was terrified by the storm's battering attacks against the aeroplane. Still, it surged on with bravery. Suddenly, Adana shuddered. For some strange reason, the storm reminded her of school. It made her think about kids in her class that picked on her way too often. Reporting them to teachers hadn't stopped them, it had only made things worse. They called her a grass. They sometimes picked on her outside of school. If only I could be brave and strong-minded. Being the youngest, the tiniest, and having the weirdest of accents is no fun at all. Adana's many travels around the globe had watered down the bouncy Nigerian English accent she once had, while her small build had to do with her genes. Nothing she could change. If only they'd leave me alone, she sighed. Adana hoped she would one day be brave enough to shake off her worries and care less about the teases, just as the aeroplane cared less about the storm around it. Needing to be comforted, she turned to her grandmother, her rock. Just let you have a think about that. You can have a few minutes if you want to talk. I want you to think about that, and if that is relevant to you, if or to your friends. Somehow we all feel different. It could have to do with our size. I'm a very small person. I've got a very round nose. Well, some people have straight noses. It could be the way that I speak. I've lived in different countries, so I don't have a perfect English accent. But what is a perfect English accent? It could be my hair. It could be my eyes. It could be my color. But you're quite a multicultural, you're very international. You've got lots of races, you've got lots. The heritage in your school is quite rich. And so I expect you to understand that, and I expect that that's how you relate with each other. As in, no race is better than the other. No language is better than the other. There's a reason why we all speak English, but we speak it differently. And so these are the things that worried her. She felt different. And I wonder, I'm sure some of you, at least one person, might be feeling the same. and how we cope. It says she turned to her grandmother, her rock. So hopefully you've got a rock somewhere. Not a physical rock, but somebody you can turn to. It could be a friend in school. It could be a friend out of school. It could be a teacher in school. It could be a parent at home. It could be a grandparent. Her rock was her grandmother. And that's why they were going on holiday together. Okay. Would you like me to read a different part of the story? Yes? What are your thoughts so far? Any questions? You want me to get on with it? Okay. Right, I'm going to go into... So that was about her. Now I'm going to go into what she saw. I'm going to go into Kindama. Very relevant to what's happening in this day and age. And I know that the junior classes have had conversations about what's going on, and I'm sure you have as well. So this is called Thanks to My Binoculars. Grandma was still chatting heartily to her friend when Adana woke up from a long nap. They were now at St. Albans. She looked out of the window, hoping to see the snow. She gazed through binoculars way down below, but what she saw instead of the snow was an unusual sight indeed. It wasn't the view she had expected. There and then, her excitement dropped to the floor, flattened like a punctured tire. Oh dear, what a sight, with Christmas around the corner. Having no time to waste, she rummaged through her rock stack for a paper and a pen. With great speed, she scribbled a letter to Santa. Well, she believes in Santa, some don't. Warning him of the toys below and how they were all broken. Her first attempt was full of mistakes, but her second try was better. Dear Santa, it's really happening. I'm on my way to St. Albans. Santa, you know how you squeeze through the pantries because our homes don't have chimneys. Well, it's all different this year. Big thanks to my uncle. Grandma and I are heading for St. Albans to build my very own snowman. But that's not why I'm writing you, Santa. Looking down below me, I see a million broken toys. This is not good news at all. I see cars on pavement with big dents on their heads. I see people playing with pointy things. What new game is this? I see trains off their tracks and falling on their sides. I see zoos with hungry animals trapped in their cages. I see thick clouds of black smoke bulging out of houses. I see clutter in the sky. Oh, the sight of it all. I think I see children, but I can't see their faces. Races, suitcases, kids tripping on shoelaces. I'm sure you know what this means. Oh well, our plane's had enough now. It runs for dear life. So please do something, Santa. With just one day to Christmas and a million broken toys, I hope you have enough new ones for them all. Remember, Santa, I'll be at St. Albans this year. That was her letter. Right, a happy part. I know that's a bit of a... Well, happy part. But hopefully you're having these conversations in school. And, you know, we put them in books as well to help you have these conversations. And one of the things I said to the younger class is sometimes we want to look inside ourselves, and even though the world feels so far away, what can I do? I had a lady come up to me to say, I've got 100 families that have just come to, I live in Chelmsford, that have just come into Chelmsford. I need some warm clothes for them. You know, that makes me feel that I can be helpful, even though I'm not in those situations. Sometimes we have too many coats. Sometimes we have too many shoes. Ask your parents, where can I donate these to? Okay, now let's go to the happy bit. Happy bit, happy bit. Now this is what happens next. Okay, and it's titled Missing Home Already. So Dinah rolled up her letter with a ribbon and tied it in a bow, feeling hopeful She slipped it through the air hostess' fingers as she set a meal before her. Could you please send this to Santa? It's a very urgent letter. Sick with worry, Adana fiddled with her jollof rice, fried plantain, and casserole chicken. She even toyed with a hot chocolate fudge and ice cream dessert. And Grandma was worried. Adana had refused to eat her food. Not even her favorite film, The Incredibles 2, could take her mind off what she had just seen. Cuddled by her grandmother, but still puzzled by the mess she had seen, Adana now wished they were back at home. She wished she was with her parents in the bubbly city of Lagos. It was still Harmattan in Lagos, Nigeria. During this season, the sun wakes up to cold, dusty winds from the Sahara Desert. And by noon, the temperature reaches its top heat, making air hot, heavy, and dry. The evenings are cooler and less humid, but even the moon has no escape from the hazy Harmattan sky. Adana dared not leave home without a dab of Vaseline on her lips and body lotion to keep her skin moist. Dry, chapped lips and powdery skin were the telltale signs of Harmattan's harsh arrival. Nonetheless, the Harmattan season is filled with hope. It was a time for lots of engagement parties followed by weddings with brides in white flowing gowns. The proud bride and groom mothers and friends would be elegantly dressed in the same silk, lace or cotton attires and huge matching headgears. It's also the season of Hajj. This is a celebration of sharing meals, of families that come back from Mecca, the Holy Land, and the arrival of Muslim pilgrimage. Leading up to Christmas, there will be hundreds of Christmas carol concerts and church services to attend. And on Christmas Day, there will be music and food and loads of food for all, and lots of presents from her family. Her grandparents' home will be swamped with aunties and uncles and distant relatives who grow by the number each year. To crown it all, 8 days later, ushers in the celebration of a brand new year. There will be watch night services beyond midnight, fireworks to mark the crossover and parties to the crack of dawn. By noon, colorful masquerades that are massive and skinny, stretching high and crouching low, will dance along the streets to the rhythm of the talking drums, and so much more. Adana and Grandma were going to miss out on all these things, all for the sake of snow. Adana began to feel unsure of her adventure and all she had given up for it. She started to wonder if missing Christmas at home was going to be worth a search for snow. Is snow as awesome as it looks in the movies? What if I can't stand the cold? She asked herself. You've got 1 minute to ask any questions you may ask while I'm here. Yeah, I saw that hand go up. Interesting question. While I was teaching at Ivydale, a very famous, I think it's an OBE now, how could his name have, who did the illustrations for Roald Dahl? Quentin Blake came to Ivydale and he ran an illustration workshop for us. But I became inspired by his drawings I'm not an artist, but I think the way that he made it look so simple made me think that maybe one day I could write. Because to be an illustrator, you also need a writer. He inspired me. He inspired me to become an author, even though he's an illustrator. Yes.
Have you ever written a poem?
I write poetry, yes, I do. I do write poetry, yes. No, I had no clue that I'd be doing this today. So you might not know what you want to do in future. And sometimes we put pressure and say, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? Yes, dear.
When you were small, do you go to school?
Yes, I did go to school. I went to school when I was in England, and I went to school when I was in Nigeria as well. Yes. Famous is relative. Am I famous in your school? You're going
in the entire world.
I think if you Google my name on Google, you might see a few things about me. But I wouldn't say, I don't think that I'm famous. Do you want me to be famous? Yay, I've got a fan club already.
Well, I should say thank you for coming to the class. I think you've inspired us a lot. Listening to Kelly. And then we do a lot of work on Black history. Right now in our English particular work, we're doing work on Harriet Tubman. So we're doing a lot of work, biography on her, some drama on her. So that's really quite nice what we're doing right now.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. And we've got this as a drama play on the 9th of December. Margaret's Limited, they have a drama group. And it would be, I think she'll send invites to you if anyone lives around Nunhead. Thank you so much for coming, Maple Class.
Okay.
Thank you.
Class will be safe.